Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we've got a lot of fun stuff to do this afternoon.
Yeah.
As we've got Lions things to discuss. We have, I have a Tigers topic I kind of want to get to a little bit later on. And most importantly, I think the thing we all know we have to lead off today's show with, because this is such a monumental event in sports, that I feel like we can't not sit here and discuss it as the lead-off topic of the show today. And that is that a 58-year-old man's going to fight a YouTuber, and for some reason we're all invested in this nonsense.
It's not just a 58-year-old man. It's Mike Tyson. I mean,
it's one of the greatest boxers of all time, but he's still 58 years old.
Yep. Against, I keep getting Logan, Jake Paul. Jake Paul. He.
Either way, idiot YouTuber, you know.
Yeah, YouTuber. And he's
guy who thinks he's a boxer now because he can get in a ring with MMA guys that don't know how to throw punches and can beat them, or, you know, fight old retired athletes. Because that seems to be kind of the MO for this guy and his brother both, really.
Yep. But I mean,
here, I'll get to it in a moment. You have the floor, sir.
Oh, I was just bringing up the stats because the rules are going to be a little different than a normal boxing match. I think they usually go like 15 rounds. They're only going eight 2-minute rounds.
Okay.
And more cushier gloves, I guess, so it's not going to inflict as much damage.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. But
they're not even, I feel like there is no way this thing is actually going to be taken legitimately as a fight. Like, there's no way they're taking it. I mean, we saw the stage thing the other day where Tyson slapped Jake Paul in the face, which who hasn't wanted among us to slap Jake Paul in the face a time or two?
Yeah, I've already got what I wanted out of this. I may not even watch. No.
Yep, that's all I needed. Good night, folks.
We've seen that so many times at weigh-ins where they just start getting nose to nose and
getting
and
chippy with each other,
to each other, punching each other.
Yeah,
and then you know that just builds up the anticipation for this fight, which starts at 8. Hopefully, there's a couple of undercards in there before.
Definitely a couple. I'm trying to remember. There's apparently a decent match in there before this on the undercard that's like, I don't know, one of them's like a women's heavyweight champion or something. Like, there's supposed to be some decent, you know, at least one decent fight on this card, because Lord knows it's not going to be the one that actually happens.
So the official rules for this, the fight will be contested over 8 2-minute rounds. No headgear will be worn.
Okay.
Men's title fights are usually 12 3-minute rounds. This is known as the championship distance. In the past, men's title fights could go as long as 15 rounds. There is no championship on the line in this bout. When it comes to non-title fights, they are length under 12 rounds and typically 10 rounds or fewer. So that means this fight will have fewer and shorter rounds.
Okay. Each
fighter will wear 14-ounce gloves as sanctioned by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations. That's 2 ounces heavier than what super heavyweight fighters wear. More cushion and less chance of a knockout. Boo.
Yeah, I don't honestly believe that at the end of the day that this is going to be like is this basically an exhibition, I feel.
It is.
Much like the Mayweather Logan Paul thing where Mayweather basically admitted that he was just kind of toying with him. He was going easy on him because there was such a big payday involved. And there is. I believe it's something like 20 mil for Tyson and 40 mil for Jake Paul.
Yeah, isn't that crime? That's a crime right there. Here's Iron Mike Tyson, and he gets half of what this YouTuber's getting.
Exactly.
Tyson comes into this with 11 fights, 10 wins, 1 losses. Tyson comes in with 58 fights, 50 wins, and 6 losses to NC. I don't know what the NC stands for, so I guess I'm not up on my boxing lingo. The reach, Paul's got him by 5 inches, 76 inches for the reach for Jake Paul. Mike Tyson, 71. If Mike Tyson really, really wanted to get this, and I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, I think he would kill Jake Paul. I mean, get him when Mike Tyson was in his 20s, there would be no way. Because, well, I mean, Jake Paul would have been like 5 years old. But, you know, the point's there.
Sure. Like, but I feel like we're really doing this a disservice by treating it as an actual legitimate fight anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and people who are actually putting money on this, you are all insane.
You're going to lose some money. Here's my conspiracy.
Let's hear it.
Everybody has their conspiracy. Here's mine. It's going to go the full 8 rounds, and Tyson's going to dominate. And then at the very end, judge's decision, they're going to give it to Jake Paul, and everybody's going to start screaming that the fight is fixed, just like they do with every boxing match. And half the time, you guys are probably right. They talk about fighting, fixing fights back in like the 50s when the mob.
When people still cared about boxing.
Yeah, when there were actually real fights. Or, you know, you'd have a situation where a boxer found out that, you know, so many people were putting money on himself, he would bet against himself and then throw the fight. Because, I mean, it's just two boxers and a promoter. Like in the Don King era, he'd be promoting both boxers. So there's only like three people in the know for this. You know, the fix is in. Boxing, like Manny Pacquiao, who was a very ferocious fighter, he lost to some no-name. Not no-name. I can't remember his name now, but, I mean, it was really pushed that he should have won that bout, but he didn't. And there a lot of people saying it was fixed. I was like, well, yeah, a lot of these fights are fixed. And I think this is where this is going. I think Tyson, unfortunately, he's probably doing this just for the money.
Well, he's absolutely doing it for the money. Why else at the age of 58 would he be getting back in the ring for any reason? By the way, I did look up the fight card for this thing, and yeah, there are some actually decent matchups on the other. Like, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano are going at each other for Taylor, who is currently the undisputed junior welterweight champion. So there is a title fight before that.
Cool.
And before that, the WBC welterweight title is on the line. Mario Barrios and Abel Ramos. And that's about as much as I know about any of them.
Uh-huh.
But so there's at least actual... There are fights with titles on the line, just none of them have anything to do with this ridiculousness that we're going to watch as the main event here. And I'm probably still going to watch it like an idiot. Like, I am going in fully expecting that Jake Paul is not going to be allowed to lose this fight. And the reason I think that is because we all know the second he loses an actual fight to an actual boxer,
yep,
the whole charade is over.
Yep.
Like, the whole thing's done. All the hype that has been put back into boxing since this mouth breather got into, you know, decided, you know, YouTube goober decides, hey, I'm a boxer now, everybody.
Yep.
Like, ever, you know, once that bubble is burst, boxing goes back to being basically irrelevant again.
Actually, for me, if he was to actually legitimately lose this fight, I would take him as more of a legitimate boxer than this charade. I want Tyson to knock his head off. I want him to beat him so bad, and then I want him to point at Logan's crumpled body and say, hit like and subscribe.
I would love to see that. That'd be great. I don't know if we're going to get that. Paul does have one loss to his record, and it was to Tyson Fury's little brother, Tommy Fury. That's the only loss he's got on his record thus far. But look at the other guys he's fought. Anderson Silva. I mean, a professional boxer, yes, but also a more an MMA guy who is also pushing 50. Two fights against Tyron Woodley, who was a UFC fighter. Wasn't really a boxer. Ben Askren, who has no stand-up game whatsoever. Nate Robinson, a basketball player who's also, like, pushing 40.
Right.
Like, he hasn't fought a real boxer in their prime yet, and neither is his brother, and I don't expect that that's going to change anytime soon. I'm going to go fight an old guy. That'll really make me look like a... You know, like a real tough guy. Yeah, I could beat up an almost 60-year-old dude. Like, I don't need to see this. I really don't.
Tyson, he's still in shape.
No, he is. And not to take anything away from him.
But still.
He's also had some, you know, a few health issues in relatively recent years.
Father Time is undefeated.
It truly is. Again, You're talking about a dude who's literally half his age at this point.
Yep.
And I'm not just, we're talking, you know, 20-something kid coming after a 40-year-old. We're talking, you know, late 20s kid coming after a 58-year-old. There is a significant difference there.
Yep. Yep.
I still fully expect that because there's so much money on the line here, although... I don't. Are they even actually taking bets on this thing?
Oh, you can bet on anything you want.
You can, but you can't bet on things that are actively staged and fixed. Like, I don't think you can go bet on, like, on the WWE or whatever. Like, I don't think that's a thing you can do because, I mean, there are people who actually know the outcome of the fight.
Right.
So that wouldn't be a fair thing.
Right. Exactly.
But I'm kind of curious now. I'm going to have to go and look this up during the break. But anyone who does, quite frankly, is a fool anyway, because you know what's going to happen. Like, I fully expect that there's going to be, like, no decision. Oh, there's not actually judges for this thing. It's that this doesn't count for anything. It's an exhibition. They just did it to do it.
And yeah.
Everyone walks away, walking out of the, both guys walk around, you know, well, with their $20 million, whoever they got for the fight, flipping everybody the bird.
Because
that's basically what's happening here.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I think we're going to be talking a lot about this on Monday, and it's not going to be for the right reasons. I think there's going to be controversy.
Of course there's going to be controversy. Like, no matter what happens, unless Tyson knocks him out, which I don't think is going to happen... There's going to be controversy with the outcome no matter what. I can almost, I can see it now. I can almost guarantee that whatever happens, there's going to be some sort of outrage about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
if Tyson gets knocked out by Jake Paul, like, okay, good for you. You knocked out a 60-year-old man. Hope you're proud of yourself, buddy. Yeah. How about taking on someone your own size and your own age? How about that?
Yeah. the next fight's coming up in the spring. Logan Jake Paul is going to dig up the corpse of Muhammad Ali.
Feels like that's where we're headed next, man.
Yeah. Wow, Muhammad Ali, he's really lost some weight.
Like, it does seem like we're headed toward, like, this is the sort of ridiculousness that this is. If it goes to a decision, like, if they go the full distance and it goes down to any judging, assuming there is any, there's going to be controversy about that.
Yep.
Regardless. The only way there isn't is if Mike Tyson does what America wants him to do. And I don't normally feel confident here in saying that America is all on one side of anything in sports, in politics, in just in life, is supportive of anything. But I feel like I can confidently say that except for, you know, like a couple people who like Jake Paul on YouTube, that as a whole, America really is rooting for Mike Tyson to do this.
Yes.
To knock this man out.
Absolutely.
And end this facade for good. I don't feel like I'm overstepping my bounds any in saying that.
Nope. Not at all.
A lot of stuff to do today. Stick around. I think we'll talk Tigers next. It is happy hour. So getting into actual sports topics of, like, relevance to literal anyone, the Tigers are honestly kind of concerning me a little bit, Adam.
Yes.
Because there was talk already from Scott Harris at the GM meetings that this thing's going to very much resemble the Iser plan. Like, literally, right now, the Iser plan, the Scott Harris plan are basically the Spider-Man meme with the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what's going on here. Like, oh, we're not giving up term. We can't spend a lot of money, so we're looking for low cost, you know, short term acquisitions that they're probably going to flip for more draft picks ultimately.
Yep.
Or, you know, for minor leaguers, because you can't trade draft picks in MLB. But there's also the concern of the upcoming extension that is going to be due one Tarek Skubal.
Yep.
And if this report out of Sports Illustrated is accurate, I worry that you might not be able to retain this man. And that is scary.
The Tigers are going to lowball him, aren't they?
They may already have. According to a report from Evan Petzold of the Free Press, the Tigers have already tried to extend Skubal's contract in a non-competitive fashion.
That's the way the game is played, but the Tigers have to realize that they're not the Dodgers. They're not the Yankees.
They're not a destination.
No. They can't. I mean, lowballing, you expect the club to lowball and then their agent come back and then they find something in the middle. But Tigers are running the risk of insulting Scooble, who's like, I'm not respected over here. You see what I did at the tail end of that season? I could go somewhere and get paid more than what you're offering and have a chance to win.
Exactly.
Tigers are going to FAFO.
Like, the Tigers cannot afford to do things like this. Like, you can't play hardball with a guy who has the options he does and also is managed, or his agent is Scott Boras, who is a guy that will get maximum return for his guys.
Yes.
But it's being reported a non-competitive offer thus far. And I'm not particularly comfortable with that being the case here. You need Scooble as like the piece to your future here. You can't go forward as a team with, oh, we don't need starting pitchers at all. Like that sort of thing. Like it was cool it got you as far as it did this season, but that's not gonna win you an ALCS. That's not gonna get you to the ALCS, quite frankly, much less a World Series.
Correct.
And you have this homegrown talent who, you know, from your system that seemingly wants to stick around. You can't be insulting the guy and then basically making it so you're going to have to trade him before he hits free agency.
Yep.
Because that's just going to set the rebuild back even farther. I hate the fact that we've now started, like, they're acting like this is a small market team. Like, we're not Pittsburgh. We're not Columbus, Cincinnati, whichever Ohio City of your choice here. This is Detroit, and we're supposed to be acting like we're a major metropolitan city, and apparently the owners of some of our local sports teams don't seem content to do things that way. Like,
yep.
How long can you reasonably expect here that if we are still in a rebuild situation, how long are you expected to be okay with that? And I can ask the same question about the Red Wings, really. How long is a reasonable expectation for a rebuild? How long is it reasonable to expect that we're not going to go out and actually spend money on free agents?
Well, I mean, the two clubs are starting to look scarily similar. As far as the Wings rebuild, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2013. And even then, they didn't do that great. But you could also hit the reset button with the fact that, you know, they brought in Yzerman.
But as we're GM. Like year six of the Yzer plan now.
I know. I was getting to that, yeah. He's in there, and he's running out of excuses. But I don't think it's him. We saw what he's done in Tampa. He has rings with that. I think it is Chris Illich.
And I agree with you, and that's kind of my overwhelming thought here. It's not that Steve Yzerman isn't a good general manager. Like, if it were just, okay, we brought the hometown guy home and he didn't have the record that he had elsewhere, then, okay, they're literally just keeping this guy here to be the scapegoat for the excuse to not spend going forward. Uh-huh. But we do know that he does have a history of running a successful NHL franchise, of building dynasties. And it really does seem here like it's just they're not going to allow him to put together a competitive team in the way that he did with Tampa. I mean, yes, Tampa was a lot of homegrown talent as well. There were a lot of really good draft picks. There were a lot of talent that they brought up through their system. But other than relatively recently with Stamkos, and you could argue, quite frankly, that they didn't suffer a downgrade by letting him go and picking up Jake Guentzel instead.
Well, have you seen Stamkos? Sidebar. Have you seen Stamkos with the Nashville Predators? The Predators are terrible this year. At least they are in the first part, but we're getting to the first quarter mark of the NHL season, and the Nashville Predators are not doing that great.
They were expecting to be like a real contender this year, and they're currently sitting seventh in the Central.
Yeah, not good. Not a good look.
Stanford Woodsworth has 4 goals and 4 assists through his first 17 games with that team.
Well, they were expecting more production from him, but I mean,
meanwhile, Jake Guentzel has basically doubled those numbers in Tampa currently.
Yep.
So, as it turns out, they were absolutely right to move on from Stamkos. As much as you hate from a from a fan standpoint, like, oh, he was the captain. He was, like, the heart and soul of the franchise and all of this.
Yeah.
Like, it was a personnel move that, quite frankly, paid off quite well for Tampa. But what I'm saying is, that is not a franchise that is afraid to spend money to go out and get a big name, to go get a Jake Guentzel. And that's the difference. Like, they're allowed to do that down there, where it just doesn't seem necessarily like that's going to be allowed to happen here.
Now, I've told you my theory. I've told it on the air, and I've told it off the air in regards to Chris Illich. I think he's being real chintzy. I think he's being real stingy, because I think he's trying to keep the price low on both clubs so he can sell both.
That would be, that'd be massive. That'd be interesting. Who buys though? Dan Gilbert?
Who knows?
Like, I don't see the Fords getting Gilbert involved in another
team. Isn't Gilbert involved with an MLB team already, or is he?
With the NBA.
NBA. Okay.
So, I mean, maybe there's that. As long as it's not Tom Gorris, all I'm asking is, please, if you're going to sell, not sell to Tom Gorris. I might have to turn in my fan card if that happens. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We got to hit a break, though. Stick around. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour, and I kind of want to do a little bit of check-in of sorts on you, the Detroit Lions fans out there. Particularly, I'd like to kind of get a live look in this afternoon at the Detroit Lions bandwagon, such as it is, because we're going into a game on Sunday where you are favored, and you are favored pretty massively by NFL standards. Like, I'm pretty sure that this Detroit Lions team is favored by, like, double digits, and that's not something that traditionally happens in the NFL. You don't really see that often, because this is the NFL, any given Sunday. You're 2 touchdown favorites against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's like a college football spread, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I'm worried that they're looking at the matchup and they're thinking, okay, we can take some time off. I'm hoping that those interceptions that they had to cough up against Houston reminds them that they're not bulletproof. They're not going to coast their way through this. They have to keep holding on to that grit.
That's true, and you don't want to sleep on any team, because that's how things happen. Like you go and lose to Carolina.
Yeah.
And at that point, you'd be forced to, like, hit the eject button on your coach's seat. So that's, I mean, did that. I don't make the rules, man. I just report them. So
yeah, the bandwagoners, especially the new ones, they lose against Jacksonville. They're like, oh, fire Campbell. It's just not working.
Right. And I feel like that's, in all honesty, I might be on the air calling for that to happen if they somehow lose to Jacksonville. 2 touchdown favorites. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
But I do, speaking of the bandwagon thing, that's something I kind of want to address.
Sure.
Because the bandwagon, I don't know if you've noticed, people who never cared about football in this town before have jumped on the Lions bandwagon in a big way. You're seeing a lot of people who never would have been caught dead in Lions gear before, who are all of a sudden the biggest full-throated champions of this franchise. And I sit back on it here as somebody who has been, well, somewhat, who was, as a child, conditioned to hate this franchise by my late father, and saw, like, the occasional glimpses of competitiveness, watched Barry Sanders go out there and just do video game things and be just the best at his position.
Yeah.
I got to watch, you know, Calvin Johnson, and his career ended up being all too short here as well.
Yep.
I sat through 0-16, and and even more so as someone who's actually from Detroit and grew up in, you know, down there, and knew what Lions fandom was really all about, which is just being depressed 90% of the time. It is weird now to me to see people, not even so much, okay, you weren't into sports and now you care. I can abide by that. I can be fine with that. Okay, cool. You're into, there's plenty of room on the bandwagon. I'm happy for you. The people that I cannot get on board with, though, on the bandwagon. And I'm not to sit here and be, you know, the gatekeeper of the bandwagon, man.
Yeah.
But it's the people who, like, actively started rooting for another team despite the fact that they are from here and like now identify fully as fans of another franchise, who all of a sudden are coming back and, oh, now you want on.
Do you got receipts? Do you want to start naming names? People you know? They're probably listening right now. Dox them. Go for it.
All I will say is that there's a few, and it seems like there's a lot of there's a lot of these people that exist that like glommed on to another team, a Niners or a Steelers or somebody like that. I mean, yeah, I mean certainly yes, a certain LaPierre Main Street manager down the hall may or may not qualify on this list.
He might be listening now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. I don't care.
He's got a magic show coming up at the Picks tonight, so he may not. He may be getting ready for that.
I mean, but that's what I mean. Like people who and Jim, to be fair, is still a Detroit sports fan above all else, really. But yeah. I know plenty of people who completely renounce the Lions. I am actively rooting against them forever and ever, and I have a new team that I have no connection to. That I is now the team that I root for, and those are the people that I really,
yeah,
really could care less if they get on the bandwagon. Like I'm not saying I don't want you, but I kind of don't want you. You can have fun with your little Niners or Steelers or Cowboys or Eagles or whoever. You stay over there. I don't want you.
You see that in retail as well. In my 9-to-5 job, you used to be able to find lion stuff towards the back of the clothing department, but now they got a big display with these cardboard lions, which, by the way, don't look like lions. They look like bears. Okay? Go to your local Meijer store. Tell me I'm wrong. But, I mean, that's retail. I mean, that's kind of what it is. But, yeah, I will even throw myself on that fire. I mean, I've watched Lions games. I've been with you watching Lions games. I keep track of it a little bit here and there. I mean, doing this show, it was kind of hard not to. But
well, yeah, you're now, doing a pseudo sports radio show.
To argue in favor of the bandwagon jumper honors.
Right.
Did I just make up a new word?
It's a new word you just made up. Feel free to use it in your daily life.
Thank you so much. It's not just that they're winning. It's how they're winning. It's an exciting team. It really is. To the point where it's not just people in Michigan who are finally waking up to the Lions. It is your national people. It's a lot of the pundits. It's the Fox Sports. It's the CBS Sports. All those broadcasters who are on board. It's because the Lions are not just good, they're great.
And those are the people, honestly, that sometimes annoy me the most. Like, the people who, on a national level, like, we don't even know how they got here. This is such a miracle team. Like how is any of this happening? Like, you weren't here paying attention to any of it. Don't act like you are now. Now, like I said, the bandwagon, I can be fine with the bandwagon, the fair weather fans, the people who don't own Lions gear, who suddenly show up with all the stuff.
Right.
Those aren't even the people I have a problem with, truthfully. Mm-hmm. It's the ones who actively threw their support behind another team who, like, you know, like I said, the ones who all of a sudden mysteriously are Steelers fans now.
Ooh,
because
hey,
the Lions, you know, were so bad for so long. Like, I'd be fine with, okay, you have kind of a second team that you adopt or whatever. Like, sometimes it's just kind of necessary when your teams are bad.
Yeah.
I get that. I think we've all done it. Like, we find another team. I mean, it's not that I don't have, you know, some like for other teams, certainly in the years where the Tigers weren't good. Like, I own a couple things from other teams. I own a terrible towel, honestly. Like,
yes, you do. But, I mean, Drew Duffney, when we do the picks, he has a soft spot for the Washington Commanders for whatever reason, and it's working out. I've always liked Baltimore.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that happens. But you don't cross the threshold of, like, I'm a Baltimore fan first, Lions second, if ever.
Right.
Like,
right.
That ain't you either. You're fully on board. Like I don't, like, because these people existed last year when the Lions started getting good. I don't care. That's not my team. Like, my team is whoever. It's the Ravens. It's the Steelers or whoever. And those are the people that, like, that can take a flying leap in my world, man.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of come off and really find myself not on board with the bandwagon people.
Yep.
And maybe am I a bad fan for that? For not being more welcoming to those who fell by the wayside?
Yes. Yes, you are.
I was waiting for you to tell them
yes,
to say that.
Yes, yeah. You're actually hot garbage. No, Because the Ford family was like, hey, we want the money. Let him in.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't, because you know what's going to happen the second that that bandwagon starts, you know, building, getting good? You know what's going to happen? They're going to raise the ticket prices.
Yep.
Hey, they did it just after last year, and they made that run. Like, hey, like, this was one of our best seasons ever. You know what? Give us more of your money.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Break stop. You're trying to tell me that a professional football franchise wants to make money? Those fat cats.
I mean, I get that, you know, teams got to make money. Like, you know, these teams don't pay the bills but by not by just giving away the product and all. But, like, you've already made it where, to where it's already ridiculously cost prohibitive for the average fan to go to a game. And those are the people who really get put last in all of these things. Yep. Like, it's going to be more seats bought by, like, you know, corporate people to use as bribes to their vendors or whatever, or companies that they're trying to get in good with.
Yep.
Like, the fan always gets kind of left out in that equation. And it's only going to be more so. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I do hate to see that.
But sidebar, I mean, you can also use that analogy in the concert world, the music concert world. I mean, you have a bunch of people. I know so many people. I couldn't get a good ticket to go see Kiss, but back in the 90s when they were reunited. But all of a sudden, you know, somebody who knows somebody who's a vendor for, you know, they're getting front row tickets. I mean, come on.
No, that's absolutely a thing. And that's why you go and, you know, support your local and more, shall we say, underground bands and things.
Preach. So
This is why, I mean, I don't go to arena shows in general. I haven't probably been, I mean, other than a few things at DTE, because Lawn Chicken, sorry, I keep forgetting, I call it Pine Knob again. At Pine Knob, things are, like, tickets are, you know,
we also said Lawn Chickens, but so.
I was like, hoping you weren't going to call me out on
that. The prices are really coming down. I found this one in the
concert in Agriport here on Happy Hour.
anyway, continue.
but like, it's still, you know, affordable for, you know, lawn seating there. So I mean, that's not as bad. But like, I'm not going to a show at, you know, one of the actual, like, the stadium arena shows. Like, unless it's some band I know I'm never ever going to get to see otherwise. Like, because I can't justify spending that kind of money and still not getting to see damn thing.
Right. And they used to say, well, it's because of COVID, we had to recoup our prices. The prices are being recouped like crazy.
They've been recouped six times over. What are we doing?
Yeah. Lower the prices now. Now, there is AC/DC. They're coming to, they're announcing a tour here soon, and I kind of want to go see that. But anyway, sidebar over.
I would also absolutely go to that show, but, you know, we're not going to be able to afford it. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
But no, the bandwagon thing, I get, you know, people are excited for the first time in a long time about this football team.
Yep.
But and I know I can't in my heart help from being, you know, gatekeeper fan here, but it's just kind of frustrating that, oh, you, not that, okay, you gave up on this team, like a lot of people gave up. 0-16 would probably be enough reason for most people to do so. it's like, I don't blame any Cleveland Browns fan that has jumped off of that train over the years after, you know, they went and went over, and then everything that has happened to them basically since.
Yep.
But that being said, I still watch the games. Like, even when I hated this team, I watched every single game of 0-16, man. And not that I want to do the fan resume thing, because I hate those people. Like, I hate the fan policing thing.
Yeah.
How many times have I said on this show how much I hate the fan? Like, you're not a true fan.
Name,
like,
three songs of a team. You know,
I do hate those people with the white hot passion of a thousand suns, because they do make it so ungodly unbearable. It also, it seems, you know, it kind of extended to the fan sites at that, like, you're not a true fan because you're questioning the moves that this team has made, and, like, you know, you're not just sitting there shutting up and accepting what they do. Like, no, that's because quite frankly, that ain't being a fan to me.
Right.
But and I do hate those people with a passion. So it's like, I find myself trying to reconcile this with itself for that reason. Like, it is kind of hard for me, like, not like hating the fan police, but also kind of like being, hey, like you literally didn't care. You were literally like had identified as a Steelers fan until 5 seconds ago. Why are you here?
Right.
Those are the. I don't feel like I'm being entirely hypocritical here in this. Am I wrong? Please feel free to tell me I'm wrong. I'm sure you're going to.
No. I think I'm going to play psychiatrist to you. You are against. Yeah. If somebody who really hadn't followed a football team, kind of had started watching it, having fun, identified as a Lions fan. You're probably looking at it as like, you know what? The NFL, the Lions, made a brand new fan. It's the one who...
Welcome. Glad to have you.
...had a talking trash about the Lions, hating on them, rooting for the Steelers, Patriots. Those people bugged the hell out of me.
And there's a lot of those around here, yeah. Even more so because Tom Brady... And it's really the worst combination of things because Patriots fans, but also... The overlap with Michigan fans. Yeah. And I already hate Michigan fans with a fiery passion anyway. So that just made them even more insufferable.
Yeah.
That I had to watch a Michigan guy basically be the dynasty of the NFL for 2 decades. Like, good Lord, the Walmarts wouldn't shut up about it anyway.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. It was a fun ride.
Yeah, I know. I know you did.
But, I mean, it is the people who actively hated on the Lions. Identified as a Packers fan or
I have no
Bears
room for
fan.
Packers fans on my bus.
And,
sorry.
So now they kind of like want to jump on the bandwagon and act like they've always been there.
That's what makes it worse. Like, no, I remember when you were walking around in your Brett Favre jersey, dude. Sit down.
Yeah. Yep.
And those are the most like the ones if you seriously started rooting for a division rival, especially the Packers, I don't want you here. You can go back and Frazier took us off at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and let us have our fun for a change. K. I don't feel like I'm asking a lot.
No, that's good.
We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Before we get into the picks for this week, we've got a little bit of other business we got to take care of. We got to help. We got to give some advice, you know, help some people, change lives, maybe even for the better. Yes, it's that time of the week again for a little bit that we like to call Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people get paid to do this crap for a living. Let's dive right in, shall we?
Yep.
Dear somebody who cares, this one seems particularly timely, really.
Okay.
Since we're right about on Thanksgiving and all.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dear somebody who cares, since my mother-in-law retired to Florida 5 years ago, I have been saddled with the traditional Thanksgiving gathering because our home has 4 bedrooms and a large kitchen. My 5 in-laws and their families all live in much smaller places. Their offers to help don't involve much beyond bringing a pumpkin pie they picked up at the store. The only exception was Carissa, my brother-in-law's then girlfriend and now new wife. Carissa is lovely, kind, and helpful. She's also vegan, but she's not preachy and was a professional chef. Seriously, her food is usually the first to go at potlucks, and she even got my picky toddler nephew to eat tofu and veggies. They recently bought a new house and want to host Thanksgiving this year. Everyone was all for it, especially me. Then my brother-in-law said it would all be vegan and cooked by Carissa, so everyone lost their minds. They cried that it was tyranny and forcing alternative lifestyle down their throats. They said it would ruin Thanksgiving. I told everyone to stuff it in that if they want a traditional Thanksgiving, they should stay home and cook themselves. My husband and I would be enjoying Carissa's feast. My husband reluctantly backs me up, but everyone else is whining and crying about the ruined holiday, especially my mother-in-law. I point out that we've had ham, prime rib, and even chicken instead of turkey before on the holiday, and no one cared.
Right.
Carissa is a much better cook than me, and alternating holidays is more than fair, or everyone can meet up at a restaurant and pay their own way. Carissa and her husband privately thank me, but are worried about causing a family feud. I think they're just full of hot air. If they can go to rival schools and cheer at rival football teams, they can eat delicious vegan food once every few years. Call it my line in the sand. What do we do next?
That's it. I mean, Carissa, did they say she is just making just a vegan meal? Or because I don't remember hearing that part in there.
It did say that, actually. My brother-in-law said it would be all vegan.
Ah, well, you know, Carissa, supposedly not preachy about it, and she handles herself, and then, you know, she has no problem with other people eating meat. I wonder, you know, why all of a sudden now it's an issue because it's in her home.
Well, because it's her home and she's doing the cooking, presumably.
Well, yeah, but she also does she also helps with the cooking at the other venue.
And probably only makes like vegan-like things when she cooks elsewhere.
Right, right.
Presumably.
So the writer,
that's the impression I'm under.
The writer kind of sounded like she was frustrated that it's always at their place. And rightfully so. And that the other people weren't chipping in. But the one person that is chipping in now wants to have it at her house. First of all, this is not the writer's responsibility. This is actually going, they're all looking at the writer saying, you know, we don't want to do this. You need to change this. No. She's offering to have Thanksgiving. I'm going over there. You guys can all come here if you want. This is what's going on. So the writer should really absolve themselves from any kind of responsibility of this.
Yeah, it's not really her problem. I don't see how this is her issue at all. Also, it's not her family, it's her husband's family.
Right.
And they're going to do what they're going to do. It's not really within your control. So why even worry about it?
Bring a dish. Make sure it's just chock full of meat. And I'm talking about the other relatives. And then, you know, just let it happen. I mean, there's not that. I think the writer really does it like a moral crisis, sort of, kind of, but not really.
I mean, I guess define moral crisis.
Well,
here.
It's, I don't even know, because it doesn't sound like she's really feeling that guilty. She doesn't want any bad blood with the other in-laws. Well, I mean, it's not even really up to you. It should be up to the husband. Say, listen, we're going over to Cassandra, whatever her name is, house this year. We've had it at our house the last 5 or 6 years. All you bring is about, no, don't start placing blame. But you know what? This is what's going on. I mean, if you want a special dish, bring it.
Right. Like, and I don't know, honestly, like, if that's something she'd be like, can we bring some sort of meat, something of some
can
sort?
Can we bring
like,
a dead animal of any sort? I mean, you know, can we make an animal suffer in any way, shape, or form for this feast?
Right. Like, and as far as her point about, oh, well, there's been plenty of years where we did things that weren't turkey. I mean, there's a difference between, okay, ham, prime rib, and chicken,
and tofu.
Like, these are two completely separate, because for Thanksgiving, firstly, I don't want turkey. I don't enjoy turkey. I'll be the first person to put it out there. Not a fan of, like, there's so many better animals you could pick to make suffer than turkey.
I am fine with turkey. I really am. I do like it on Thanksgiving. But that's it. Like last year, Dorothy made a turkey also for Christmas. I'm like, we just had this, and I'm just not. I mean, I'd rather do a ham. I'd rather do a brisket. I'd rather, you know.
I'm totally good with Thanksgiving brisket.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like for Christmas, you know, to have turkey on Thanksgiving and then.
See, I don't even need the turkey on Thanksgiving. We actually, yeah. at my folks' place, do mozzarella, but also taco bar.
Yes.
I mean, there is a turkey, too, for the people who have to be all traditional about it, but taco.
But really, you also do the sauerkraut thing.
Yeah, they also do kibasa and sauerkraut Rubens, which I hate.
Oh, those are amazing. That's amazing.
I hate it. My family is also, you know, very Polish on my mom's side, and they embrace all of that.
You need to sneak me an invitation, because that sounds amazing. I love kraut and kielbasa, oh yeah.
You know, it probably could be done. That being said, yeah, no, I hate it. Like that is the one thing that I absolutely positively cannot get on board with. Like, you'll have a better chance of getting me to eat turkey than kielbasa and sauerkraut. Ugh, just thinking about it right now just make my stomach turn.
Now, I like turkey, but I'll tell you what, I like the dark meat. The white meat gets real dry real quick, and I'm just not about it.
And that's fair. But, like, my point is, like, we don't even need to necessarily, like, do the turkey on Thanksgiving or, you know, whatever for Christmas, whatever it is you traditionally do. Like, we did Christmas steaks one year. Actually,
oh, yeah.
Usually most years lately, you do the Christmas steak thing. And if you have the chance to do that, absolutely do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that sounds good.
Again, all that, like, if we're talking tofu here, like, you kind of got to accept people aren't going to be down with that. For what you do, personally, I mean, you go and enjoy your tofurkey or whatever. That's fine. You go do that. Good for you. I don't know why it is that vegan people insist on, you know, all their stuff still has to be, like, shaped like and flavored like meat, but they won't actually eat meat. Right. But, you know, that's a whole other subject for another day.
But, I mean, if you think about it, the traditional, quote-unquote, he's air quotes on radio, traditional Thanksgiving meal, yes, there's a turkey. That's meat. But, I mean, green bean casserole, no meat.
Right.
Stuffing, no meat. Mashed potatoes, no meat. Yams, no meat. I mean, you can have...
things that aren't... Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But not having that main... Your main protein such as it is, you know, that's kind of a different thing.
Yeah, we can have a curry.
but that said, you're not going to have, like... Okay, so they don't want to come. They don't have to. Like, you're not... Clearly, you're not cooking this year. This is no longer your problem.
Right.
I don't see that, like, if you're asking, like, should I just take on the dinner again just to make everybody happy? No, absolutely not.
Right. No, yeah, I think the writer is having a little bit of guilt, but as far as what she should eat, she do, nothing. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, none of this is your fault.
Nope.
None of this is, like, anything that you're responsible for, so you go on, have your tofurkey, and, you know, get on with your... Get on with your life, I guess.
There you go.
Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, you do what you're going to do, and they can either show up or bring their own dead animal of some sort or just not go. That sounds like a them problem, not a you problem.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's now I think we've solved that problem. Let's
no, I think we just completely dissolved that family. But yeah, go ahead. Continue.
We may have dissolved that family, quite frankly. But that's fine. You know, sometimes you just need to do that.
Yeah.
Let's dive into one more of these, shall we?
We shall.
Dear, oh God, not these two idiots again.
It's us.
Last week when I commented to my girlfriend about the person using the knee saver, I told her my usual tactic for dealing with recliners is to just put my knees up against the seat until the person stops trying to recline. Like, presumably we're talking about people in...
Airplanes
and things of that nature.
Knee saver.
You may remember there was a... there was actually a fight between a couple passengers on a flight not too long ago over legroom.
Right.
So I guess that when that came up, you know, he just puts his knees up against the seat until the person stops trying to recline. I value the space in front of me much more than other people do and almost never recline my seat. She told me that if she saw me doing that while I was sitting with her on a flight, that she would report me to the flight attendant.
She's going to rat you out.
Obviously, the situation is the fault of the airlines, but is it really so rude to just silently say, no, I don't want you to recline, to someone who's practically putting their seat in my face without asking?
I've been on airplanes before. Maybe it's changed, because it's been about 14 years since I've been on an airplane, but anytime I ever recline my seat, it reclines like 10 degrees. It's not even, like, you're not reclined straight back.
No, you're really not. Like, it doesn't really help nearly as much as... You know,
the fact that his wife or his girlfriend?
I believe he said girlfriend.
Girlfriend, she'd rat him out. Hi, stewardess. I know I'm supposed to call you flight attendant, but I don't care.
that's not really my problem.
That's an issue, not an ish me. my boyfriend here, yeah, this guy with the really long legs, yeah, he's not letting this poor woman ahead of him recline his seat, and I think you should throw him off the plane. Ma'am, we're above the Atlantic Ocean. I know, and I understand, but he's been given a lot of warnings, and he's been leaving the toilet seat up, so out he goes.
Yeah, like, why would you go and do that? Like, that's insane that she's seriously... talking about reporting you to the airplane police and having you thrown off
the
plane.
She has to be joking, right?
She has to be.
She's a rat.
You wouldn't seriously do that unless you wanted to come home single. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean...
That said, is he in the wrong here? Or would he be in the wrong here?
I don't know. I think at this point, I think airlines... just to avoid any kind of problems, they should just stop having the seats recline altogether. Because, I mean, yeah, especially if you have the tray down and somebody reclines back, I mean, you could spill a drink and, you know, it is intrusive. But, I mean, I remember talking about this now. If the seat reclines, if that's an option, then that person reclining should be able to recline. And the person that they're being interfered with, you know, they're just going to have to understand that that's the nature of the beast. That's the way that plane is is manufactured, and deal with it. Recline your seat. Just recline until you get to the very back row where it's against the lavatories and they can't recline their seat. Well, but you know what? They should have had a better boarding pass than you guys.
I guess so. Like, I mean, honestly, this would all be solved if, like, airlines wouldn't insist on just trying to cram an unnatural amount of people into these spaces.
Exactly.
But what can we really do about, like, I feel like powerless to do anything about it, because people presumably still need to get places, and
we lost a lot of money during COVID, so we had to jack up the prices and keep people on our tarmac for 10 hours, and, you know, because of COVID.
And get rid of you being able to check a bag for free or whatever. Like, every possible expense that we could cut, we have. I mean, that's your, also, like when you're flying just a mid-tier airline, you know, these things are going to happen. That's like, you know, just bring for the extra and, you know, get on one of the bigger name airlines, man.
Yes, with the baggage fee, the seatbelt fee, the peanuts fee, and the oxygen fee, your total comes to...
Yeah, the actually having the plane safely land fee, like, there's so many things.
Yeah, hi, folks, this is your captain speaking, and apparently there has been one stingy person on there that didn't pay the landing fee, and, well, we're putting this in the water.
Yep, there's going to be some rough air ahead here. I feel like there's going to be some turbulence. We're going to shake that money right out of your wallet.
Yeah, we're turning it upside down. Oh, somebody didn't pay the seatbelt fee. They're the ones plastered against the ceiling of the hull of this plane. Sorry, folks.
I guess should have thought this through a little bit better, huh? That bet you'll pay your fees next time, won't you?
Yeah. Oh, but that's fine, because... hi, stewardess. I'm sorry. Yeah, flight attendant. This person reclining the seat. Would you check her ticket and see if she paid the reclining seat? Oh, no, not at all. All right. Well, out she goes.
Just eject you right out. Just hand you a parachute, shove you right out. Good luck.
Folks, if you look to the right, you'll see some woman who wanted a recliner seat who didn't pay the fee. And we say, arrivederci.
Alas, poor passenger, we barely knew you.
Yeah, we give her a parachute, but it's over the Atlantic, so, you know, basically we just gave the sharks a burrito.
Right. Yeah, it's not really gonna do her any good, but, you know, we tried. We were at least, our hearts were in the right place, if nothing else. I feel like we deserve credit for this.
Yes.
I want more of these real quick.
We got to put airline passengers on the
apology list. Airline passengers, vegans. Like, it's going to be probably more of a list this week than normal. Yes. Yeah, let's do one more of these. We don't have a whole lot of games to pick this week, so.
I'm listening.
Dear, really? Them?
Yep.
How does this keep happening? My husband of more than 10 years thinks he should be able to stay out all night some weekends playing poker because it doesn't affect our quality time, since I'm asleep, and it doesn't affect our finances. Plus, he's not cheating and I know where he is. He says I'm being controlling by asking him to come home by 2:30 a.m., but I think it's a reasonable compromise. I'm uneasy about him staying out all night, but I don't really have a rational explanation. All of his arguments are true. How can I justify my request that he not stay out all night playing poker? And I feel like you and I are going to come down on different sides of this one, as someone who is more of a homebody than I.
I think we're pretty much going to be in lockstep, because he wants to go out and have fun. It's not affecting you, the writer, at all. It's not affecting your finances.
It's not affecting your ability to see each other.
She is writing in basically just to say, "Hey, I really don't like us like this, and I need a reason why. Help me give a reason why." You don't have a reason why. You want him to not have fun in this way. You could have said,
"You don't want him to have fun." Period. That's it right there.
How many times have we heard couples
about that?
Why do you
hate fun, lady?
Where she will complain about a guy playing video games, or a guy doing fantasy football. Oh, I hate it. Why? I don't know. A guy plays in a band. Oh, I hate it. But you met him playing in a band. Yeah, but, you know. But, I mean, guys do that too. You know, she has her book club. She has her yoga. She has this. And I just hate it. Well, why? Well, I don't know.
I don't have a good reason.
It's not a fact. You said in your letter, you don't. You know he's not cheating on you. You know he's not spending money. You know he's being safe. You know there is no reason for you to have any problem with him out there enjoying himself.
You know where he is. Like, I feel like that's the thing. Like, if, like, my, obviously you know that I hang out at a lot of bars and places and do things late at night while Rachel's asleep because she works a normal person job and
yep.
I do this crap for a living.
Right.
And bartend. So, like, our sleep schedules do not align in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
She doesn't care. She's fine. Like, do whatever. I don't
You
care.
Guys have, like, the perfect relationship.
Really, truly do. It's you're not wrong about this.
So,
I don't see her at all. Like, she wouldn't care. Like, we still get to hang out, like, when we're both free during the, you know, late afternoon, evening hours. This doesn't affect it. If anything, she's really probably happy because, great, he's not hammered in bed right now, flailing about like he's on the damn Titanic.
Right.
This is actually the preferable option.
Yeah, whispering in my ear, like, you awake? I gotta work in the morning. That's fine. I just need you for a minute.
My, you make me sound like some just creep out on the street.
Hey,
Lord, that's how he tries to initiate things with his wife, and as it turns out, he doesn't find himself getting much satisfaction. Wonder why? She's actually put a restraining order on him. It's like impressive.
An episode of The Simpsons. Marge, I was watching women's volleyball on ESPN. But no, I don't know what this writer really wants. Do they want us to take her side and invent a reason for her to be ticked off? I don't get it.
I don't either. And I don't feel that this is something that... that should be a deal breaker in that sense. I mean, apparently you two need to, figure out what you can live with. But I don't see the problem.
Very rarely will I ever say grin and bear it. But in this case, I will say grin and bear it. Because, let's play It's a Wonderful Life. You tell him, I forbid you from going out and playing cards. You are going to be home with us. I'm going to give you a curfew. He's going to resent you.
He is. There's no way around that, and you're not going to be happy with that, and neither is he. So let's not even let's not, shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
And let's hit a break here because we've got to get the picks in. Still, stick around. It's happy hour. All right, so we once again kind of screwed ourselves here. We gave us, like, no time to do the pick, so we got to kind of rapid-fire this.
Oh,
got
yeah.
Drew in studio. I won last week somehow, despite some formidable competition from Senior Duffney and the Vehicle City Sound crew. So let's dive right into this thing. First game, the game going up against the Lions on Sunday, actually. The Baltimore Ravens head to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Probably the most exciting game of the week, and no one in Detroit's going to be watching it.
Oh, yeah.
We start with Adam on the pick.
Quoth the Raven, no more, nevermore. Give me Baltimore.
Drew.
Steel curtain all the way. They're going to wrap it right around them Ravens, and they're going to, like, dead birds hitting a window.
I mean, Baltimore's a three-point favorite here, but Mike Tomlin keeps working some magic with this team. I don't know how. I don't question it. I just know I'm taking the Steelers. Up next, NFC North matchup between the Packers and the Bears in Chicago. Green Bay favored by 5.5. Drew Duffney.
Yeah, going from one cold city to another cold city, I think it's going to be a close game, and usually I default to the Bears.
Adam.
Packers are used to freezing their tuckus off. They're going into Chicago where it's just a little less chilly, and they're going to take advantage of it. Go Packers.
Give me the pack. Give me Matt Eberflus is fired by Monday. Up next, the Chiefs headed to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Can the 8-2 Josh Allen and the Bills finally give the Chiefs their first loss of the season? Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Do I want the Chiefs to lose? Absolutely. Do I want to see Swifty fans crying in the streets? Yep, but I can't. Give me KC.
Drew.
I think it's going to be a little cold. I'm with Adam. I think KC's going to take them, but I'm going with Buffalo. I got a suspicion that it's going to be an underdog weekend.
They can't win all the games, right? Give me the Bills. And finally, the game we really care about here in Detroit, your Detroit Football Lions taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game where Detroit's favored by 14 points. And you know I need scores on this. Drew Duffney.
I've seen what a Lion can do to a Jaguar. I think it's going to be 28-17.
Adam.
I've said it before in this broadcast, but I think the Lions, if they don't underestimate their opponent, they're going to do wild. They're going to do just fine. Lions 49, Jaguars 10.
I don't think it's going to be quite that big of a spread, but I also don't expect, especially with Matt Jones starting for Jacksonville, I am not expecting anything.
Where's
great
Trevor
here.
Lawrence?
Out injured apparently. So, with that said, Lions 28, Jacksonville 9. And I guess we should pick Michigan State and Illinois this week. Illinois looks like surprisingly good here, but we'll start with the resident Sparty on the pick. Drew.
Yeah, it's going to be a Sparty party. We can't lose them all, can we?
Adam.
Give me Sparty.
Yeah, I wish I could have that. I wish I could have your confidence, guys, but I can't do it. Give me Illinois. That's the picks. We got a little bit of housekeeping got to take care of real quick in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls. Happy Hour would like to apologize to vegans, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, flight attendants, and really airline passengers. We're sorry. We got to go. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on Sessions here at Solid State Radio. All being well, talk to you Monday. See ya.